You and I are the whole process. We are totality itself. And when I can understand this true nature of myself as the totality of the whole universe, the Vedic expression here is Aham Brahmasmi, then only will I know myself as bliss. This bliss is not mere happiness. Happiness for this or that reason is just another form of misery. The seer says, when I know myself as the totality, then I know myself as bliss. And this bliss is closer to me than my body. It's nearer to me than my mind. And it follows me wherever I go. I now know myself and understand myself as the immeasurable potential of all that was, is, and will be. I know myself now as the immeasurable potential of all that was, is, and will be. Now I know that I'm not in the mind is in me. I'm not in the body is in me. I'm not in the world is in me. Body, mind, and world happen to me because I find them interesting. And my desires are like seeds left in the ground. They wait for the right season and then spontaneously bloom into beautiful flowers and majestic gardens, into mighty trees and enchanted forests. There is no other I than the entire universe. I am being, and I am nowhere and everywhere at the same time. I am omnipresent. I am omniscient. I am the eternal spirit that animates everything in existence. So now we can begin to answer that basic question that we started out with. Who am I? The answer is, I am pure potentiality. And pure potentiality can neither be destroyed nor created. It can only be expressed. When we read about it in the Vedic texts, in the Bhagavad Gita, for example, we hear it's said of this pure potentiality, this quantum mechanical subtle body of ours, fire cannot burn it, water cannot wet it, wind cannot dry it, weapons cannot cleave it. It's ancient, it's unborn, and it never dies. So the next question, where did I come from? And the answer to that is, I did not come from anywhere, because I was always here. The body comes and goes, but I'm always here. And what happens when I die? Nothing happens because I do not die. The comparison is often made about a house and the space that is contained in the house. The brick walls may be torn down and you may make another house with a new set of bricks, but what happens to the space that the house encloses? The space can neither be created nor destroyed. Another analogy frequently given is that two people are speaking on the phone and somebody suddenly cuts the lines off. What happens to the people? Where do they go? Nothing happens to the people, and they don't go anywhere. Only certain lines of communication have temporarily been cut off. And so too, when physical death occurs, nothing happens to you or me. Only certain lines of communication that use a certain nervous system have temporarily been disrupted. So what does it all mean? It all means simply one thing. The meaning is that being manifests by becoming. And that birth and death and pleasure and pain and night and day and up and down and on and off and the cycles of the seasons are just the cycles of being and becoming. This universe would be dead. It would be static. It would be rhythmless, undancing, and mummified if it wasn't for this play of Veda, pure knowledge, becoming Vishwa, the universe, the eternal dance of creation. And this is the eternal dance of creation. The ultimate ground of this eternal dance is my essential being itself. My being is the field. As the poet Rumi has said in one of his most eloquent lines, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. This field is beyond all concepts, beyond all ideas, beyond all imaginings, because it cannot be in the realm of thought. Again, Rumi very tantalizingly says in one of his most memorable lines, he says, when I die, I shall soar with angels. And when I die to the angels, what I shall become, you cannot imagine. What I shall become, you cannot imagine. But you can be. Because in that gap that we were talking about, in that gap between our thoughts, is a light and a love. If we can stay in that, be in that, be in love, then we will become love, which is the ultimate nature of reality. And this love has the ability not only to change ourselves, but transform the whole world. Tagore says it more eloquently than I can ever express it. He says, what is this light that dances at the center of my life? This golden light that dances upon the leaves, these idle clouds sailing across the sky, this passing breeze leaving its coolness upon my forehead. The sky opens, the wind runs wild, laughter passes over the earth. Butterflies spread their sails in the sea of light. Lilies and jasmines surge upon the crest of the waves of light. The light is shattered into gold on every cloud, and it scatters gems in profusion. Mirth and laughter spread from leaf to leaf, and there is gladness without measure. Heaven's river has devoured its banks, and the flood of joy is abroad. This flood of joy must indeed be love, for love is the only reality. And it is not a mere sentiment, it is the ultimate truth that lies at the heart of all creation.
The following sutras, or packets of knowledge, are adapted from Effortless Being, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, translated by Alastair Shearer, and give a good summary of the concepts explained in this tape.
Purification, refinement, surrender to pure, unbounded consciousness. These are the practical steps on the path of knowledge. They nourish the state of samadhi and weaken the causes of suffering. The causes of suffering are five: ignorance of our real nature, egoism, object referral, aversion, and the fear of death, which is the mistake of the intellect. Ignorance of our real nature is the source of the other four, whether they are dormant, weak, suspended, or fully active. Ignorance is the failure to discriminate between the permanent and the impermanent, the pure and the impure, bliss and suffering, the self and the non-self. Egoism, the limiting sense of I, results from the individual's intellect attributing the power of consciousness to a limited self. Attachment is object referral, clinging to pleasure. Aversion is object referral, clinging to pain. And the fear of death is a spontaneous feeling deeply rooted in us as a result of the mistake of the intellect. The subtle causes of suffering are destroyed when the mind merges back into the unmanifest. The gross effects of suffering are destroyed through transcendence, through meditation. The impression of past action stored deep in the mind are the seeds of desire. They ripen into action in seen and unseen ways. As long as action leaves its seed in the mind, this seed will grow, generating more desires, more action, more experiences. In these two, the fruit of incorrect action is sorrow, the fruit of correct action is joy. Life is uncertain, change causes fear, and latent impressions bring pain. All indeed is suffering to one who is trapped in the prison of the intellect. But the suffering yet to come can and should be averted. The cause of this suffering is that the unbounded self is overshadowed by the world. This world is the play of the gunas, the universal energies of light, motion, and mass. They take form as the elements and the senses. The purpose of the world is to provide us with experience and thus to lead us to freedom. The gunas operate on various levels: gross, subtle, causal, unmanifest. But the self is boundless, unbounded. It is the pure consciousness that illuminates the contents and animates the mind. It is only for the sake of the self that this world exists. The limitations of the world disappear for one who knows the self. The self is obscured by the world in order that the reality of both may be discovered. It is ignorance of our real nature that causes the self to be obscured. When ignorance is destroyed, the unbounded free nature of the self is discovered. This freedom, this liberation, is enlightenment. The laws of life are five: non-violence, truthfulness, integrity, purity, and self-referral. These laws are universal, unaffected by time, place, birth, or circumstance. Together they constitute the great law of life. The rules of living are five: simplicity, contentment, purification, refinement, surrender to the infinite, unbounded, pure consciousness. Negative feelings such as violence are damaging to life, whether we act upon them ourselves or cause or condone them in others. They are born of greed, anger, or delusion. They may be slight, moderate, or intense. Their fruit is endless ignorance and suffering. To remember this is to cultivate the opposite. When we are firmly established in non-violence, all beings around us cease to feel hostility. When we are firmly established in truthfulness, action accomplishes its desired end. When we are firmly established in integrity, all riches present themselves freely. When we are firmly established in the self, the nature and purpose of existence is understood, and great power is generated. Simplicity destroys object referral and brings freedom. Purity of the mind, cheerfulness, mastery of the senses, one-pointedness and fitness for self-realization follow. From contentment, unsurpassed happiness is gained. By purification, the body and the senses are perfected. Refinement brings communion with the spirit that animates everything in existence. Anything and everything in existence can be mastered when all effort is relaxed and the mind is absorbed in the infinite, unbounded nature of pure consciousness. And then we are no longer upset by the play of opposites, and life is lived in freedom and joy. And so even though the knowledge sounds new, it is ancient, it is eternal. There is nothing new. The journey is from here to here. It is a journey without distance. Again, in T.S. Eliot's words, we shall not cease from exploration, and the end of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Through the unknown remembered gate, when the last of earth left to discover is that which was the beginning, at the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall, and the children in the apple tree, not known because not looked for, but heard, half heard in the stillness between two waves of the sea. Quick now, here, now, always, a condition of complete simplicity, costing not less than everything, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well, when the tongues of flame are enfolded into the crowned knot of fire and the rose are one.
For further information about Dr. Chopra's workshops, seminars, training programs, tape series, and for ordering any of his books, please contact Ayurvedic Educational Programs, Post Office Box 598, South Lancaster, Massachusetts, 01561, or phone 1-800-858-1808.